Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Welcome to Prospects to Pros, the show that covers the guys that are about to get drafted, the guys that got drafted and everything in between. And we are heavily focused on the guys that are about to get drafted because I sit here with the great Dane Brugler of The Athletic, the great Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. We are at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Practice has just ended. We have watched 2 days of practice now. We have seen lots of great one-on-one O-line, D-line battles. We have watched receivers and corners go at it. We have watched some, dare I say, mediocre quarterback play.
That's fair, yeah. And usually what I like to do is first day of practice for quarterbacks, throw it out. Give these guys a grace period, one day. Let them get adjusted to new coaching, new wide receivers, all that. Obviously, new terminology with any new coaches. So today I thought it was a little bit better, but still, this is a group of NFL backups. And I think that's pretty evident early on. I tell you what, the guy that stood out the most for me, practice one and practice two, Jaden Reed, Michigan State wide receiver. It was a nightmare on offense for that Michigan State offense this year. And this year, or to this week, we're seeing that 2021 version of Jaden Reed. I mean, he is winning with speed. And it's not just speed. He's using the subtle hesitation down the field. His hand strength is really impressive for a guy that's he's a little slight. He's not the biggest player, but he's surprisingly effective at the catch point, regardless of if it's a contested window or not. So Jaden Reed, I thought, has been a really nice player this week and someone that's, I think, helping himself.
So, Lance, who have you really liked?
I think Tank Dell. I mean, speaking of slight, he's only 163 pounds, but, I mean, does it matter if somebody can't touch you? He's the separation's been unbelievable. It was like that on tape, too. So, he's so sudden. He's so sudden out of, against press in his release. He's sudden out of his breaks. He is explosive. So, it's not just a suddenness getting in and out of breaks. There's an explosion level to separate afterwards. He can go deep. He can work, levels 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he catches it pretty well, too. So, I think Tank Dell, the real question is going to be, and Dane knows this, every year it seems like there's certain storylines or narratives that develop. And narratives, I mean, it's just – when I say narrative, I don't mean something people run with. It's factual.
Right.
And this year – The factual narrative is that there are a bunch of slight receivers. There's just no way around it. A bunch of good receivers who are going to be, you know, in 175, 180-pound range and below. And Tank Dell fits in that category. So how do you value his playmaking versus 163-pound frame? That's going to be the question.
Yeah,
interviewed him.
Feels like
He's missed zero games, though, in 4 years at University of Houston's. Never been hurt. And a big chip on his – he said, I have 2 chips on my shoulder. And I wanted to say, don't say that out loud because they're going to ding you for that in medicals. They're looking for a reason to doubt you.
The question is, how much do those chips weigh?
Yeah, that's right. Put 4 or 5 chips on. Just get to 170.
Load up on the chips. Well, yeah, I just thought of a question. Okay, this is – I was thinking about this earlier today. The highest drafted player who is in the Senior Bowl will be –
I will say Osiris Torrance, Florida guard. I think he's had an outstanding 2 days of practice.
Not set that up just because I went to Florida.
he's had a good week. I mean, the other name that popped up, Luke Musgrave, I think, this is a stacked tight end group at the top. I know, is Musgrave your number one or number two tight end, Lance?
Musgrave's my number one, and then Mayer and then Kincaid, but they're all basically jammed up together, and it's just what flavor ice cream do you like? I would say Dane might be right. I also think Musgrave could be number one. I think that there's a chance. You know, I I get the feeling some teams are, and I've got a good grade on him, but I think Will McDonald is going to be a guy
from
that's
Iowa going
to go higher than some people think also. And they were just talking to Darnell Wright on the field, like, you know, who's been your iron versus iron, you know, the iron sharpens iron guy. He goes, oh, Will McDonald for sure. He's got the nastiest inside spin move, and he's put it, but he can also beat you with speed on the outside. And, you know, Dane, he's going to – the guy's jumped over a car before on video. I'm sure you've seen that. He's going to test out of the gym. So you take the production, you take the testing, and then you take what's going to be some pretty good tape, and I think he's going to get pushed up too.
And he's a little tough because he's so slender, and I worry about him against a run. So early downs, what exactly is he? But there's no doubt he can get after it. I mean, he looks more like a small forward on a basketball team than he does like a true defensive end or pass rusher. So is he going to play a linebacker role? But there's no question about the athleticism with Will McDonald. So, Torrence has been awesome. Really nice job in pass pro, especially climbing, especially in space. In the team drills especially is where he's really had a chance to shine. But, yeah, it's, you know, of course, every year we have seniors drop out, you know, just DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, that's
here
an interesting story. He had a great first day.
We don't know the whole story just yet. But
oh, yes, we do.
No, do we know the whole story that we can talk about? We know was very good yesterday at first practice. Today, he's MIA. He's not here. And, you know, there's – Lance, why don't you?
Okay, well,
take
let's see. We all watch college basketball. You ever heard of the one and done? We just had a one and done. That's what we had.
Well, and that's the thing.
Did he tell anybody?
A few years ago, I couldn't remember the player. I know there was a few years ago there was a guy who completely balled out on the first day, and it was like, okay, I have nothing more to show you, and I've done my part here.
Yeah.
But DeJuan Jones, the freakish measurements first, like he was going viral. For his length measurement, he's supposed to be 7'5" based on his wingspan.
Yeah. Well, and that's and well, here's the thing. I'll just be honest with you. There's some things with DeJuan Jones that concern me in terms of redirection, change direction. It didn't really show up yesterday because of the way people rushed him
exactly
in one-on-one. They Isaiah all tried to beat him on the edge.
Isaiah Foskey, the way he's going, I mean, and he'll try to beat him right down the middle.
Down the middle. That's not happening.
You're playing it right into the hands of DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones, huge, massive hands. He'll snatch you every time. And so based off of, exactly. That's kind of what I've been saying is like, yeah, you looked good, but how rushers adjusted to him throughout the week was something
I
really wanted to see.
And that was the concern is that all of a sudden if he had to face it out, he doesn't face off against as many, I think, diverse pass rushers on his side of the bracket. But, you know, had he faced a guy like Will McDonald with a spin move, it could have looked pretty ugly. But he didn't get a second day, and no one really gave him the inside move, which is what gives him trouble. And so, you know, his agent, I think, probably just said, hey, let's quit while we're ahead. You got long arms and had a good practice, and I wrote about him yesterday.
Oh, so did I, yeah. Don't you have to at least say, like, oh, I just sprained my ankle a little bit. I'm just going to be in street clothes the rest of the – you know, like just to – I don't know. Really curious development.
Yeah, I mean, shoot a text like, hey, thanks for the opportunity. I had a wonderful time in Mobile. I had some good fish and grits or shrimp and grits, and it's been real. And I appreciate the hospitality, and thank you for measuring my wingspan. that's how you got to do it, right?
Lance, what other offensive linemen had? Because I feel like coming into this week, a lot of these guys are jam-packed together. You know, the Matthew Bergerons, the even throw Wanya Morris in there, throw Jalen Duncan. You and I aren't very high on Duncan, but you know he's got his fans out there. So of these offensive linemen, who's really stood out for you?
Well, I mean, you nailed Torrence. I think Torrence has definitely put himself in the first round for me for sure. You know, I was kind of, you know, my draft grades are in any draft, you know. So I think in most drafts I would have him in the second round. In this draft, I'm going to have to put him in the first. The kid is, he was well-schooled at Louisiana Lafayette before he even went to – he had Kevin Dotson, Robert Hunt. They were all on the same offensive line at one point. He was a freshman.
Well, he had the same coaches at Florida that he had at Lafayette.
Yeah, and so he has, you know, he has great hand resets. He's something he said he wants to work on. He wants to work on pad level. He's a very conscientious player. He doesn't have a great body. He's a heavy-set guy. He's a little bit heavy, but, you know, for me, I thought he was great against Jalen Carter. I thought – you watch that game, and no one gave Jalen Carter a tougher time than Osiris. And that, to me, is good indicator of anything is how you did against Jalen Carter. But then you watch him out here, and you can't beat him down the middle. He's got a good feel for his edges, so he protects his edges. He's a good run blocker. I do think, you know, some of the outside zone stuff will be a challenge for him, but you just don't probably run it a whole lot if you're drafting him. But the guy that, to me, has really stood out is John Michael Schmitz. And I'll tell you what, he had two blocks where he – kind of framed and sealed off the gap, and there were two long. One was Tajee Sharpe, and the other, actually, they may have both been Tajee Sharpe breaking, you know, for the long runs. I think Schmitz has been just terrific. I think he's my OC one, and he's another guy. Center slip into the first round, and I think he's going to be the guy that gets in there.
He was kind of a stalwart at Minnesota. He was part of PJ Fleck's first recruiting class there, and was a 6-year guy this year, you watch him play out there, because this is a place where a lot of guards get tried at center. And actually, in one case, we've got a guy who played tackle in college being
Cody
tried
Ma.
At center right now. This is a center playing center. Like, yeah. It was very clear watching him. This is a man who knows how to handle that role.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. His senior tape, super senior tape, wasn't as impressive as I expected going in, because he was on the radar last year. If he came out after last year, he was expected to go maybe top 100, and so there's expectations. And I don't think his senior year necessarily lived up to that. But he's a good player. He's got a really nice resume to work with. And there are times he's an outstanding run blocker. Sometimes in pass pro, he will get a little off balance, but that hasn't happened here. He's done a real nice job, and so. I don't know if he makes it to the first round, but you're right, Lance. I mean, teams need centers. And so, you know, Joe Tippmann, I think, is my top center right now. And then John Michael's right behind him. So, and I don't know that I have a true top 100 grade on John Michael, to be honest, but these guys go early and he's having a nice week, which really helps him.
So, go ahead, Lance.
Well, I was going to say, I had an executive tell me that, you know, based on, my point was, this is not a very good tackle draft. Like, it's not a great tackle. It's not great. If you need an LT1, the best one's going to be a guard probably with Peter Skoronski. I'm glad to hear you like Bergeron a little bit, because I like Bergeron. I think he's a good run blocker and he needs work in pass pro, but I think some of that will be smoothed out if he moves down to guard. Some of the hand usage won't be as. Yeah, he did play some guard today, and I think that's what he's built for. But, you know, the one, I think Darnell Wright is another one who I like. And I was having this conversation with a team executive, and he said, look, it's not a great tackle, but the state of offensive line is so bad right now, relatively speaking, in the NFL, that any grade you have on a tackle, and really for the most part guards and centers, you better be prepared to bump them 15 to 35 spots. And it was jarring to hear. But then when you really think about it logically, it makes sense.
Can I ask a Darnell Wright question?
Because yeah.
He was not, when he had to play on the left side, that was not great.
Right.
He was very good on the right side.
Uh-huh.
How much does that change the evaluation?
None. So my dad had a guy named Max Starks, who you also will know. Max Starks, another big Florida guy.
Radio with him now.
Yeah, and Max is great. And Max Starks, I've talked to Max about this. You know, Max, my dad, so it's always, your thought is, okay, you put the heavy plotter on the right side if you have to. You don't play him on the left side. My dad went to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl ring with Max Starks against Arizona, and Starks, you know, he tried to play him on the right side and it just didn't click for Max. But on the left side, even though he was a little slower and heavy-footed, it just was more natural. The steps were more natural. Everything is, you know, it's like hitting right-handed, left-handed.
It's 100% like that, because I remember getting to college and being told, you line up on the left side, you're in a left-handed stance. You line up on the right side, you're in a right-handed stance.
Right.
And that first time trying that left-handed stance feels the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
Because when you're used to playing out of one stance or on one side, it feels backward and wrong. Unless you are probably truly ambidextrous.
Yeah, and that was a thing where, you know, my dad told me, Max is the O-line coach. He said Max just is much better as a left. Yeah. And so Darnell it probably doesn't feel right to Darnell, but I can tell you at right tackle, and this is, you know, this is something that you learn with time. You get so caught up in, well, what does his body look like? Well, what do his feet look like? Was he bending? And you start doing a beauty contest for, okay, give me the check. And I think draftniks have this issue, and we're all start off as draftniks, right? And you aspire to really be a really good evaluator. Everyone looks to check off, okay, show me the hands, and I want to see the feet, and I want to see the balance, and that's all true. You want to see all that. But at some point, what's the end result? Like,
right.
At some point,
especially offensive linemen.
Process is important, but for offensive linemen, are you getting guys right. blocked? And if there's one guy that should be a poster boy for that, it's Orlando Brown. It didn't look pretty when Orlando Brown did it. The combine was a disaster, relatively speaking. And here he is starting, you know, in the NFL, and he's doing a nice job. And so it needs to also be about result, not just process, but result.
I covered Orlando Brown's pro day. Because this is after the disaster's combine.
Yeah, the pressure on him at the pro day.
He did better on the bench. Well, it was also the day that Baker Mayfield had his pro day, so he pulls out the Karate Kid headband. But Orlando that day was very interesting, because Orlando's a thoughtful guy. And he's just like, at some point, doesn't it need to be about whether I can block people or not?
Yeah.
And sure enough, he's blocking people just fine.
Yeah, Darnell Wright here this week, I think he's so eager to show off how violent and physical he is that it's looked a little sloppy. It's been, you know, hot and cold for him. But I think scouts really want to see some improved technique. And that's what I'll be looking for tomorrow going to last practice from Darnell Wright. Because he grew on me as a process throughout the season, because he's not – there's some things that you can nitpick about him. But when it comes down to it, the foundation of what he does – is a really solid place to start.
Alabama lined up Will Anderson across from him.
Yeah.
And Will Anderson had one of his worst games.
Yeah, he didn't do much at all. And Wright was good throughout the entire year. I thought, deep into the season, even he played in the bowl game. He was an opting out. It was a really good battle with Brazil.
He had some nasty stuff going on in the bowl game.
It was a fun battle.
Darnell's a good finisher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I do enjoy. There's no question.
I do enjoy
about
a good finisher.
There's zero questions about that. So no, he's right there in that mix to be a top 50 guy, I think, in this class. One other thing I want to talk about. I mentioned Jaden Reed, Michigan State wide receiver. How he's looked. Michael Wilson, the Stanford wide receiver. This guy is really, really impressive for his size to move like he's moving. He's been catching everything. The tough part with him is he's missed more games than he's played the last 3 years. He had a foot, he broke his foot, and then the day after he was cleared, he broke it again.
Different part of the draft, but like, isn't that kind of like a George Pickens situation?
For different reasons, you know, Pickens had a lot going on. With Wilson, yeah, it's trying to figure out, okay, I think we're getting a better feel for the evaluation. Now, what's the valuation in terms of where do you draft him? How good do you feel about him becoming an impact player for you? He's definitely forcing teams to maybe reevaluate a little bit based on how he's played this year. And so once we get to the combine, the medicals will be absolutely paramount for him.
He is, to me, his comp. Now, I think I stayed away from his comp because the size didn't make sense. But who he is for me is Mac Hollins coming out. He's a great special teams player too. Terrific gunner. And that's something that I have to look for. I look at all the special teams reps because I need to know who those guys are, because it puts a floor on where he'll go. So I think Wilson's floor now is probably fourth round, because he's a great special teams gunner and he's a guy who has speed. But you mentioned the injuries, you know, that could play a little bit of a role, but he's got speed to go vertical. He has some juice on tape, and out here you can see it. He's got some juice, he's got some ball skills. You got to see if he can stay healthy. But worst case scenario, anytime you start saying, okay, well, he's for sure a team's guy for us, that automatically, okay, well, is he good enough to be a backup wide receiver? Yes, he is. Then all automatically you end up having a floor of where you can go, and then you just hope to build from there. And I think with him being a big-time teams guy and everything Dane just talked about, now it's about the medicals, and do the medicals check out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code The Athletic. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Another position group that I feel like we haven't talked about much here is the defensive backs. Is there a corner or a safety who's really stood out to either of you guys?
Today it was Caillou Blue Kelly, the Stanford corner. Yeah, he made some nice plays against some of his former teammates over there at Stanford. So he came into this week as my second senior corner behind only Devin Witherspoon, who's not here, of course. But you know, he's competing with Tyreek Stevenson to be the top corner here. Is that matchup?
I was down on him a little bit on tape. I didn't love him, but I would agree with you. He stood out. The first thing he did was snag a ball one-handed when he was on the sideline and overthrow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, who was that? And I saw it was Blue. And then he had another near interception where he was in zone and then, you know, read the quarterback and jumped it and dropped an interception. I thought he looked really good. He's one of those guys that I made a mental note that I need to go back and double check him. I thought Jamie Robinson looked really good too in one-on-ones. I thought he was really, and
he's
no offense,
smaller.
I know you're a Florida guy.
Let me tell you about Jamie Robinson, because we had a deal where the Florida State staff invited several media members to call plays during the spring game. And I thought it was going to be one of those jokes where we just kind of stand out there. But they bring us up the day before. They give us a play sheet. Like, it's obviously a limited menu.
Wow.
But so cool. I'm calling the defense when we get up in the fourth quarter. And they put some of the better players in. This is Jamie, just transferred from South Carolina. And so I call a fire zone blitz. Jamie's my blitzer. First down. Sack. Right off the bat. So Jamie Robinson is my favorite player in college football because he made me look like the best play caller ever.
That's great. He's just small, right? I mean, he's 5'10 and 3/4, 194 pounds.
Yeah.
And for some teams, that's a deal breaker.
Not in the slot, though.
Right. Well, and that's, I think, a big question is he a true nickel?
Right.
Or, you know, do you need to play him? Is he more of a post? What do you envision for your defense and what you want to do?
You know, he's got some dog in him, and
he does.
That's one of the things I really like is he really is. He's intense. He's competitive. When it gets into contested situations, as you saw today, he just refuses to give you an easy ride. And I liked him on tape. I liked him out here, too. I think he was a guy that stood out as well.
Beloved by Florida State teammates and coaches, by the way.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that everybody sort of rallied around, and that's why it's nice to hear this, because I like it when the guys that the players and the college coaches talk up as their favorites, when they shine out here, it's a good sign, because I have a feeling – they're going to be good, productive NFL players too.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the guys also that I think has been interesting to watch for a different reason, and I didn't notice him out here today. I'm sure he was. I must not have seen him. Was it's jarring to see J.L. Skinner in person.
He's humongous.
Because he is tall, long, and then you see him from the knees down, and I don't think I've ever seen a more spindly,
mm-hmm.
calves and like he's got kind of regular thighs with these tiny spindly calves. And I was standing next to a pro personnel director, and he kind of asked me a question about him, and he said, was he hurt all the time? And I was like, no, I don't think he was hurt all the time. He goes, I mean, if he's not hurt. And I said, do you worry about, you know, a guy who has small lower bodies? He goes, well, you wonder where the speed comes from. But he said, but no, I mean, if he's not hurt. And he said, is he physical? I said, yeah, he's physical. He plays in the box. And
where are you playing him?
Yeah, I'm probably playing him as a robber and playing him down, you know. I'm letting him play down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably where he has to, I mean, he's not a bad athlete by any means. But, you know, just he's going to get the
– going to play him forward, though.
Exactly. I think that's the way. And there's just not many safeties in the NFL that are legit. And it's not like, oh, he's getting pumped up on the team website, 6'4". No, he verified 6'4 and a quarter. Huge dude. One other DB I want to talk about that has really – I thought stood out, Darius Rush, South Carolina corner. He had a great first day of practice where he was running routes for the receivers. And then today he had another big play. I think it was in teams or maybe 7-7.
That was my favorite tweet of yours off the first day of practice. Darius Rush ran a better route than the receiver he was covering.
And I posted the video with it to show, like, hey, look, I mean, he ran it better than Jonathan Mingo. So, yeah, he's for a guy that's that big, because he's almost 6'2", he's got a larger wingspan than a couple of the offensive linemen here. He's just a big dude, but he also has quick feet. He can sink. He can redirect. There's a lot to like about Darius Rush. He's a former offensive player in high school. You know, one of those guys that was, you know, clearly the best player on the team. So he's playing quarterback. He's doing everything. You know, when you watch South Carolina, obviously you're watching because you want to check out Cam Smith. You want to see the corner. Darius Rush, man, he's a good player.
You know, it's funny. We love seeing wide receivers who play DB because they've got ball skills and tracking stuff like that. And then, of course, a lot of times you're a DB because you don't have great – you have ball skills except for the catching part. And then we also love seeing defensive players turn into offensive linemen because they're nastier a lot of times. It's a weird combination where, oh, this guy used to play defensive line and now he's an offensive line. Good. I know he's going to have some nasty to him. Oh, this guy was a high school wide receiver and quarterback. Good. And he's going to see the field better as a defensive back.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that the best maybe the best position group that I've seen on a team has been the American running backs. And usually the running backs don't get a chance to shine at this, you know, these types of all-star events. But Eric Gray, Tyjae Spears, who else on that? Chris Rodriguez, and then Kenny McIntosh. Yeah. So those four guys have been outstanding, catching the ball, moving well during team drills. I think running back, it's hard to shine, but it might be the best position group we've seen.
Rodriguez is an interesting one because he averaged 6 yards a carry behind a pretty good Kentucky offensive line
right.
in 2021. That line was not very good last year. And so you see...
And he missed the first month of the season.
Right, he was suspended. So, I mean, there's stuff there, but the guy has been a productive quality back the entire time.
Yeah.
And so that you've got to take that into account. I really love McIntosh. Because, yes, you can throw to him out of the backfield. Yes, you can, you know, on third down, there's so much you can do with him. But I thought, especially at the end of the season, like, go back to the Peach Bowl against Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was slipping through some holes, and it looked good.
Yeah.
Now, Dane, you and I talked about this while we were watching, you know, because you were talking about him kind of setting up blocks. And maybe a heavy zone team, that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you want one that here's the hole, go hit it.
Yeah, he's a point of entry back, I think. You know, if you direct him to where the hole's going to be, he can hit it. He's got quickness. A lot to like there. But when he's asked to create, when the hole's not defined, that's where, you know, things start to fall apart quickly. So, yeah, he's not going to be for everybody, but for a team that needs or could use a pass-catching back who, you know, Sony Michel was kind of the same way, where point of entry back, catches the ball well.
I wouldn't take him where the Patriots took Michel.
No. We're talking about a guy that you're going to consider in the top 100.
Yeah.
Well, and Sony hit it downhill, I think, a little harder than McIntosh.
That's fair,
with everything you said about McIntosh, I totally agree. I forget that Dane and I see players fairly similarly. he does not, and I think this is easy to see on tape, he really doesn't set. He doesn't have great vision. He doesn't have great feel. You're right, Andy, is not a natural outside zone back where you're a plant and go back. You probably have to be more gap scheme and more defined. You know, and the point of entry backs, this is the concern is if you need a clear point of entry, Well, you can find a lot of backs like that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about a guy who runs where there's a clear hole. What's special is when a guy has a natural innate feel for the blocking development and the way that the line, it's all instincts and feel. Like, you either have it or you don't. And I don't think McIntosh has it, but there's things I like. There's definitely things I like, but you know, you watch a guy like Taji Spears, and he has that. Yeah. I thought Roschon Johnson in day one ran a little bit like that too, which was a little surprising to me.
I think Gray has that too.
I like Gray. I don't know what you. Yeah, I'm a Gray guy.
He's going to be a steal in the fourth round. Yep. We're going to look back and say, man, how did he last that long? It's just there's a lot of quality running backs, especially when you include the underclassmen in this group. It's we're going to see a lot of differing rankings.
Gray was a workhorse back at Tennessee as a freshman. Yeah. And
it was weird how he goes to Oklahoma, and then Kennedy Brooks is the starter.
Right.
We kind of lost where Gray was, and then this year he had a chance to shine again, and he's a good player.
So the Senior Bowl in a lot of cases is about trying some stuff you've never tried before, or trying positions you've never tried before. We mentioned Cody Mock earlier. He's the North Dakota State offensive lineman. He played tackle at Oklahoma State. He's playing guard and center here. I talked to him on Tuesday morning or on a Wednesday morning, and I asked him, about the center stuff, and he said, listen, I would snap before practice just in case something went down. We got down to our third, and I had to do it. And but he'd never done it in a team setting or anything. He was out there doing it. It was interesting because he took a rep at tackle in 101 pass pro. And it was clear how much more comfortable he was. But the question is, can somebody like that who hasn't played that position, can they show enough traits to these coaches and scouts to say, I'm confident you can do that at this level?
I think first and foremost, just the fact that he's attacking it, that's going to earn him points. Teams want to see you go try.
He told the coaches, I will punt if you want me to.
Right.
Exactly. He, by the way, was his high school kicker in Hankinson, North Dakota, playing nine man. He played basically every position.
Tight end, defensive end, kicker. Yeah, he did everything.
Let me guess, he's all state in three sports. It's the same bio for all those guys. Yeah, may not.
Yeah, but no, just the willingness to do whatever that needs done. And so it has not been perfect for him at guard or center. You can tell it's new for him, but you want to see progress and just the willingness to do it. And so far, I think we've seen that from him.
So you can make the switch, but it's not automatic. Like, there's nothing offensive line people hate more than just assuming a tackle can bump to guard or center. The first thing, there's two things you have to have. There's really three. You gotta have pad level, which is something that Mock has to work on. I think pad level can get away from him. So you have to have pad level, which means you have to have some knee bend and hip bend. So you got to have flexibility. You need to have quick hands. And then you have to have a certain level of core strength to withstand the bigger, stronger guys, and usually leverage guys, because a lot of times they're going to be 6'2", 6'1", and even 6 feet playing with leverage. So those are three things you have to have. I would say I saw a rep in pass pro where Mock got beat as a center. They got up under him, pushed him all the way back. The second rep, the offensive line coach, this is why I love being down there, listen to the correction. He corrected him, talked about pad level. The next rep, he stayed low, like way lower than I would expect.
I remember the sequence
talking about. Yeah, and he stayed up under his guy, and he had a great rep the second time. So that showed me, okay, I saw it once. I know it can be done. It's a matter of, can he muscle memory this thing into existence? And I think he can. I think, and besides the fact that he's just an Alex Kappa type, right? He is just, he's a tough, nasty. If he's not going to be a center, he's going to be a guard. But my guess is a team's going to, somebody in a room somewhere is going to say guard, center, tackle.
I would say also if you need a tackle.
Get us out get us out in an emergency. Yeah.
Yeah. So, another guy I was watching today. Now, he didn't practice on Tuesday because he was sick. Malik Cunningham. You talk about – and now he's not trying something different, but this is why I ask. I watched him play all throughout college. He was Louisville's quarterback. He's a special athlete.
Mm-hmm.
There was a play I'm watching. He takes off running, going around the corner. And I'm like, how many of these people are going to ask him if he might switch positions? Like right here, right now.
Because he's not a big guy. I mean, he's under 6 foot, and the tape was very sporadic. on him. And let's be honest, Aiden O'Connell should be here, the Purdue quarterback.
Right.
Why he's not is a mystery.
But, I mean, Malik could be here doing something else and
yeah,
could be very interesting.
Yeah. I think that's something, and that's what these all-star games are for. You want to try stuff out. And we know you're a really good athlete. So I remember, you know, Denard Robinson coming down here and, you know, doing some nice things, whether at corner, whether at receiver. And he got drafted as an athlete. So, yeah, I mean, the more you can do, if Cunningham wants to be a quarterback only, he's probably not getting drafted. But as an athlete, he's got a show.
And this is not like the Lamar Jackson thing. Like any conversation about Lamar playing another position was idiotic.
No. Yeah.
This is different.
No, this is listen, there's not going to be three quarterbacks under 200 pounds drafted this year. We may have two.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young and Stetson Bennett. We ain't having three quarterbacks, and he's under 200 pounds. And I think, Andy, the thing you get into is exactly – I mean, this is just the truth. Players, you know, we get so sensitive to criticisms on social media and you know, concerns about people thinking you're stereotyping or this, that, and the other. And you know what's funny? The players just want to play and go make money and make it in the league.
He's a twitchy, sudden athlete.
That's what he is. And
most humans aren't like that.
I guarantee you his agent would say whatever it takes for you to get in the league. Yeah. But he's a special runner now.
Yeah.
His ability to make you miss – I was blown away.
He's got great vision.
Great vision. Yeah. Running back's vision. He has ability to make you miss. The question becomes, can he catch a pass? If not, can he, like, how do we utilize him? And so when I wrote him up, I wanted to be respectful to his quarterback stuff. He wasn't terrible as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. When he's in rhythm, he's not bad. He's just, he's not big enough to be a quarterback, and it's not consistent enough. So how do you utilize him? Can he catch it to be a wide receiver? I'd love to find that out here, but we're not seeing it yet. Can he be a running back? I don't know. He's a gadget guy. You could use him for packages.
Mm-hmm.
Zone read. You can put pressure on teams. Do you treat him like Huntley and you say, okay, we're going to use you, but we're going to be ready to we'll figure it out on the go, because I'm with you, Andy. As a runner, he just makes plays. So you want him on a football team. You just got to figure out how.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You mentioned another guy, and we got to talk about him even though he's not here. Stetson Bennett declined the opportunity to be here and went and got himself arrested. 6:10 a.m. knocking on doors. That listen.
We know it wasn't underage.
6:10 a.m. I've had some nights that ended with the sun coming up. It's not – it's a bad deal usually.
Were you preparing for the draft at the time?
I was probably should have been trying to do something more responsible, but that's the thing. Stetson Bennett could have been out here, and I mean, from what we've seen on the field from him, outplaying all of these quarterbacks, he could have been helping himself, and all he did was hurt himself.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because on one hand, I get it. He just played a 15-game grueling schedule, and, you know, like that's that. But you're not a guaranteed top 4-round quarterback. And so, you know, come to an event like this and give it your best shot. I think the media is so fixated on the underdog story. He's not as much of an underdog. Like, that's not how scouts view it. You know,
he's good.
Yeah, you know, he is good, but he also has things that he needs to work on. And you know, it's some of it's intangible related, and some of it's, you know, and so there's a lot with his. It's a far from perfect evaluation. And so for guys like that, come to an opportunity like this where it's not a great quarter. We might not have a top 100 quarterback here. Come to an event like this and show out. And, yeah, it's a shame considering what happened. But, you know, he'll have a chance to maybe redeem himself at the combine.
Dane just hit you with code. He's got some things intangible related to work on. Like, you know, it really
like could have gone to the Senior Bowl and wound up getting arrested. I mean, you know, at 6:10 a.m. for public intoxication.
It looks really bad. It looks really bad when you say you're going to focus. You're not going to play at Senior Bowl. You pulled out because you want to focus on the combine and the draft, and then that's obviously not what you focused on, at least on that particular day.
That's actually been my combine experience a few times.
Yeah.
So he's focusing on being a reporter at the combine.
But you don't wear, you know, you're not number, you know, 126 or number 13 or whatever. You don't have the shirt. You're not wearing the spandex.
And it's a little different than, like, you know, Will Levis. Like, I mean, I don't think people realize how hurt Will Levis was down the stretch of the season. The second half of the year.
Yeah.
He's getting shots before every game into his foot. Like, he needs legitimate time to get better and get healthy. So I think it's a little bit different than that. And Will Levis, he's not really competing with any quarterbacks here. He's going to be the first senior quarterback drafted. There's no question. It's just, you know, it's the Stetson Bennett, Will Levis conversation about who should be here. It's just a little different.
I think Stetson is a guy who, you know, so you look at it, you have to look at quarterbacks in parts. Start off with the physical part minus. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no way around it. If you minus Bryce Young, you have to minus Stetson. If you plus Bryce Young, you don't care about size. You can't care about size with Stetson Bennett. That's how I look at it. Be consistent. I recognize that one guy has some special talent, but I thought Stetson Bennett played really well down the stretch. Played with a lot of confidence, a lot of poise. Thought he delivered the ball with accuracy. Showed decent zip on the ball, enough zip, I thought. I may not have a big arm, but I wasn't fazed by it. I came away from the national championship game and really, frankly, the playoffs thinking, man, I got to really, you know, I really got to really give this some thought about what I'm willing to do with a 25, going to be a 26-year-old rookie who's undersized. And then, you know, then you start having anything negative go wrong. And there's some buzz about, you know, was he beloved in the locker room by his teammates and stuff
buzz,
like that. There's a lot of buzz on that. That's what Dane's probably referencing.
It is.
So you got a little buzz on that. So is he a likable guy? Is he a guy that guys rally around? If you say no, then all of a sudden now you're looking at the PI and you're saying, wait a minute now. We're starting to have some things pile up on this 186-pound frame or whatever he's going to weigh. And that's your concern. I like the football player. I loved him. I thought he's 25, going to be 26. He's undersized. He just got a PI, which shows, you know, bad decision-making for an older guy who should be much more mature. And then, you know, if you don't have a big check mark on leadership and intangibles, man, you start to have it kind of roll downhill on you. So as Dane said, it would have been nice for him to be out here and A, wouldn't have had the PI, I'm assuming, and B, it would have been a chance. I mean, he would have outplayed these guys.
Listen, who among us has not been publicly intoxicated?
I have been.
It's just the circumstances
I have
that
been.
We're talking about
I think
here.
I was on last Saturday, but that's regardless. It got worse as the night went on, but I took an Uber home. I wasn't knocking on anybody's. As a matter of fact, I was in bed at 7:30 at night, and my daughter really gave me the business. I mean,
that actually is another podcast, Day Drinking, highly underrated.
Yeah, I was at University of Houston basketball game, and the Cougars won late, and then I ran into, you know who I ran into? Well, he came after. How do you like this? I leave. Right as I'm leaving, I have to Irish goodbye the crew I came with. I said, okay, I can't keep up with you guys. So I'm leaving. Selvin Young gets there, wow. University of Texas.
Yeah.
You know who shows up 1 hour later? VY. And VY, and they all had dinner.
How's
the crew that I was
days?
With, VY's doing great.
Yeah.
He was having dinner.
Vince Young is one of those humans that you meet him. Eddie George is the other one I'll put in this category where you go, how did anyone ever tackle you?
Vince is so cool, too. Vince is so much. Like, there's a level of cool to Vince. I interviewed him when he was in high school. And now, you know, here he is. He's done with his playing career. There's just a level of cool to Vince Young. But, I just got off on a tangent there. But, yeah, I think it's unfortunate Stetson didn't play. Will Levis, I'm interested to see if he even throws to the combine or if they wait to really, that's another conversation for another time. But I want to see if they try to wait as long as they can to tighten up the mechanics and fundamentals and wait until his pro day to throw. I'm interested to see if Bryce Young weighs 200 pounds at combine, doesn't throw, and then doesn't weigh at his pro day and throws there. I'm already kind of figuring out how I think this thing's going to go.
Yeah, and like, we know he's small. Like, I don't know. It just seems
you don't need to try to fool us by getting a 200.
If you're 192 pounds, that's we know you're
small. I mean, I'm just volunteering to eat all the biscuits so I can trick so I can trick everybody, but that's just me. The problem is you got to take it off then. That's the worst part.
One guy that I think you know, he's got plenty of buzz. He's going to blow up the combine. A little up and down this week so far. Keon White, Georgia Tech, a former tight end at Old Dominion. he has a lot going for him. He's a freaky athlete. There's a lot working for him, but
they were posting the highest miles per hour reached by each position group, and he was far and away the fastest.
Oh, he's at the combine. He's going to be 285 pounds or whatever, and run in the 4.5s. I mean, he's a freak. But snap to snap, it's just a little inconsistent, and so I don't know. I was hoping to see a little bit more from him. Same thing with Andre Carter from Army. I mean, he's a year away from being a year away. You know, he needs to develop his body. Yeah. He's going to be a sub package guy, and so you just again, evaluation versus the valuation. Where do you draft a player like this? I thought during the season or coming into the year, I thought, yeah, he'll be a top 100 guy. Meh. I still think he probably will be because, you know, he's got length, he's got speed. There's a good foundation there. But as you stack these pass rushers in this draft, like, he didn't make my top 15 pass rushers just because I still think he has a long ways to go. And we've seen that this week.
I talked to a coach who used to here at the practices who used to be at Army, and he told me, you know, the training table's not great at Army relative to the rest of college football. He's not at Army now. You know, he talked about the rigors of just being a cadet and how that's, you know,
hard to keep weight on, dude.
Really hard, really hard. And when you look at his arms and the development of his arms and legs, I mean, Dan, you talked about, let's think about this. He's not going on a first, so he's going to get a four-year contract. The first year has to be a redshirt year. I don't know how he could play. He needs to gain about at least 20 pounds
of muscle.
The
harder part about that is the political piece of it, which he had nothing to do with.
Right.
You know, somebody slips something into the omnibus bill, and all of a sudden the question is, can Service Academy guys go play in the NFL right away?
But he can.
He can because they made an exception, and they said, so if you entered before this rule got changed, you can do it. But he becomes the face of all that, and that's tough for him. He had nothing to do with that.
No, he had nothing to do with it. And he's, you know, so you look at him from a frame standpoint and a strength standpoint, like, he cannot match up against some of these guys out here. They're just way too strong for him. He had a great productive year in 21. This year they put a little more attention on him, not nearly as productive. And I think what you have here is a guy with traits but a frame that really needs work. So if you draft him and he's got a four-year contract, the first year is a redshirt year. There's just no way around it. And then you have to hope he's ready the next year. So really, anybody who drafts him is going to be drafting 4 years to get three at best. And that does hurt from a valuation standpoint. I could see him in the day three. I think right now, I don't see how you could draft him in the top 100. He has so far to go from a physical standpoint. It's not like he's 10 to 12 pounds away.
Right.
He's about 20 pounds of muscle away.
He does, right? And he could probably eventually get there. But, yeah, to your point, like, with the Army program, they limit how much you can squat. You know, they limit what you can do. So, like, it's just it's a little bit different than a lot of these guys, what they're working with. But, again, he's long. He's got speed. So there's things to work with. I mean, I can still see teams being optimistic, but we have to be realistic about what his projection is as a rookie and then moving forward.
All right, guys, before we get out of here, we've talked about who you thought was best, who you thought, you know, led each position group. Let's get sentimental. Who's just been your favorite? Who are you looking at going, I don't know if this person's an obvious fit. I don't know if this person's a super high draft pick. But I'm rooting for him. I want to see this person in the NFL.
I think a lot of the guys we've named, one guy that I liked more and more after I watched him, Carl Brooks from Bowling Green.
That's a real player, though, dude.
He is.
And he's a real player.
The way he played down the stretch, the way he's been playing here, they played him at defensive end, and here he's been more of that.
He was a 295-pound defensive end who would stand up.
Yeah.
It is insane.
He was a true edge player in that defense. And he had a few reps, you know, over the B gap, and I thought he did a nice job. And his hands are so quick, so violent. You know, he's not the longest player. He's a little sawed off. But, man, he with his athleticism, the way he moves at 300-plus pounds, and the violence with his hands, I don't know where Carl Brooks is going to be drafted, but he's a guy that it's hard to watch and not really like him.
I'm going to go with Riley Moss.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what now. Riley Moss, you know, of course, it'll be a conversation the first white corner and since Jason Sehorn, I assume. He's a real player. Like, he's a legit guy. I don't know if he can be a starter, if he'll be a quality backup. There's talk about him playing safety. You know, I talked to a scout who worried about his open field tackling, but it's not tackling and hitting is not a problem when run comes towards him. Like, mm-hmm. he's physical, he can get off blocks. But I think his instincts are good. He's got ball skills, he's got size, he can run. I think Riley Moss, to me, you know, the narrative is going to be something other than his football, but the reality is he's a good football player, yes. and he has to stay healthy. But Riley Moss is a good football player, and to have an Iowa cornerback, you know, Iowa's been the home of a lot of good ball hawks. It's just that's just how they build.
I mean, that defense was dominant.
Yeah.
It had to be because the offense stunk.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But it's not just Lucas Van Ness and Jack Campbell. There are a lot of good players on that
absolutely.
defense.
Absolutely, and two of them are Merriweather and Riley Moss are here. And I think Riley can play a little bit. So he's a guy that I'm really interested to see. Sure, you know, you think it's just you know, is it going to be fun to have people talking about that, and what will they say on the set when he's drafted? You know, people have some funny comments or whatever. But I think he's a good football player, and you know, I'm always interested in the black quarterback. My dad was a coach at University of Houston in the 70s when it was option quarterback, and Houston had a lot of black quarterbacks, and it was even in the 70s as a kid, I knew it was, you know, it was a thing that was kind of looked down upon with some of the other teams in the Southwest Conference. I don't know if that's the right phrase.
Well, I mean, look, it was Houston, Warren Moon.
Yeah, Warren Moon went through all kinds of crap.
And looking back on that now.
And he had to go to Canada.
It is so amazing how short-sighted and stupid people were on that subject.
Absolutely.
It was incredible.
It is amazing. I was at Tulane when going to school there when it was Terrence Jones was the quarterback there at Tulane. He was a dual threat quarterback Greg Davis had when he was at North Carolina, but at Tulane. But you know, I see the shift in dynamics as people, you know, have broadened their approach and they're more open minded. I think there could be other Riley Mosses. I think that sometimes people get caught up in, instead of this guy being a wide receiver, because you're used to picturing a, you know, a white guy who's 5'11", 195 pounds, being a wide receiver who can run. Oh, this guy can run too. How about a cornerback?
Players have fun with this.
Yeah,
because they do. They and in the locker room it doesn't matter, because all they care about is can you play or not.
That's all they care about.
And I think we're the ones who get all twisted up in this stuff.
People in football, like you said, they just want to know if you can play. And I like to see people. You know, I'd like to see people. I'd like to see all people get a chance to just, you know. The people who are the decision makers have to get out of their comfort zone of where they like to pigeonhole certain players. And we've seen it with quarterbacks now, and people have broadened out. I think it will be interesting if more teams say, hey, instead of us taking this kid and making him a slot wide receiver like Ricky Pearsall, who I think is a good player, by the way. I'm not saying Ricky should be a corner, but maybe some teams in the high school level will start saying, hey, this guy's a really good athlete. Let's play him over at corner.
Well, here's the thing. If you're a really good athlete and you're 6'1", 6'2", like, you can be lost in the crowd at receiver. Absolutely. You can stand out at corner.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And so Riley Moss, good play. He's had a really good first two practices here. I mean, he's been able to match receivers, whatever they've thrown at him. And it's tough in these one-on-ones when you're a corner and you don't know what's coming and you're on an island. Yeah, you have got no help out there. But he's really acquitted himself well.
All right. Well, I also, you know, for my other podcast, if you listen to the Andy Staples Show, which has its own feed, please subscribe to that one too. I got great news out of Iowa today. Kirk Ferentz, the head coach, announced no staff changes he anticipates. Brian Ferentz, his son, will be back as offensive coordinator.
That keeps on giving.
It is a gift from the content gods. So thank you, Kirk Ferentz.
Can I tell you that I've got an Iowa fan. So I do a sports radio show in Houston, have for 25 years. And one of the guys, Tony Moles, who is a longtime listener, is an Iowa guy. And we've talked Iowa football over the years. He has been pushing this, you know, if the Texans really want to get innovative, they're really going to have to move towards Brian Ferentz.
They're trying to give him away to anybody who'll take him.
He's trying to push him. I'm like, hey, we can get some line play going with a Ferentz, but I'm not sure he's going to be our play caller.
Well, that's what the thought was when Bill O'Brien got the Patriots job, that he might call Brian as the O-line coach. But it does not sound like that's happening. And as a podcaster, I'm very thankful for that. So, but thank you so much for listening. Mobile has been a fantastic host. We have not gotten rained on like we did last year, knock on wood, for tomorrow. But it's been fun and great to do this in person. And talk to you guys next week.
Can't wait.
This was the Athletic Football Show.
Hey, hey!
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.